The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, government optimistic of reaching decision on minimum wage before May Day. Local government expert assess election of DCEs on non-partisan basis will allow professionals in the local government system. Weak institutions cited as bane of inequalities in Africa. And ailing Algerian President Abdelaziz Bouteflika sworn in for a fourth term.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Government and its social partners are working feverishly to have the national minimum wage fixed before May Day. The Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, who disclosed this to Joyce Jichi, said negotiations have started. We started last October, were supposed to have been incorporated into the budget, but this has not been possible.
You recall that at a point in time, government came out to say that because of the economic challenges, it's placing moratorium or freeze on public sector wage increase. Negotiations have gone beyond that, but now government has agreed for us to negotiate. Knowing as it is, particularly in the case of the national minimum wage, it will be instructive that we finish before midday. So we are generally asking government that let's do everything humanly possible for us to finish the negotiation. We acknowledge that the wage bill has gone up. Government has been bandying various figures. But you will also agree with me that since January, there have been increases in almost everything. Taxes, levies, utilities. So it has chiseled out the trade value of our salaries. We also have cause to think that, and we have stated it repeatedly, that the wage bill, as it is now, the thing is not efficiently being managed. We are aware that there are ghost names still. Each time they remove the ghost names, they are able to bring back some of the ghost names. So the figures that we are seeing may not be exactly the total wage bill as it were.
At the beginning of the year, TUC said it was going to advise itself regarding the continuous automatic pool adjustment when it becomes unbearable. At what point will TUC consider it unbearable?
No, we didn't say so. We said there's a limit to which we can contain. So that's what it means generally. So that if we increase to a level, we know the economy is weak, but if the increases come, it gets to a level where people can no more be able to absorb the increase. So yes, we allow the increases, but we say that pay us something to be able to cushion us.
Sir, what is the difference between the national minimum wage and the public sector wage?
The difference is that the national minimum is the least for the whole country. Then we have the base pay as the minimum pay for public sector work. And normally, the base pay is a little above the national minimum wage. So what we are asking for to be reviewed is both the national minimum wage and then the base pay.
Secretary General of TUC, Kofi Asamoah, in that interview with Joyce Jichi. Meanwhile, the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Niamh Ashiti, says government will continue to engage employers and other social partners to arrive at a base pay and minimum wage. He said though negotiation is ongoing, government and other stakeholders have to expedite action to reach an agreement before May Day. The minister said government is working seriously to ensure that the workers' pay is linked to productivity. Mr. Ashiti disclosed this on Behind the News.
We are working hard to ensure that by the time we get to the 1st of May, we should have some conclusion to the negotiation that we have started for some time.
How did you receive the news of the ultimatum by the TEC Secretary General? How was you on the negotiating table?
I helped with the Secretary General of the TUC. I think we were in a forum in Tema sometime last week, and it's a prelude to the May Day celebration. And I think the issue that came out was to expedite action and get the negotiation completed before May Day.
While labor is agitating for an increase in wage, there are arguments that such calls should be valid only when there is a commensurate increase in productivity. What do you say to this?
Yes, I agree with you. Obviously, if one has an increase in salary, one should also be thinking about increasing the input And let me say that under the single spine policy, there is a phase in the program, you know, the policy that is linking pay to productivity. And I think that is a stage where we are. Recently, we had a forum that organized by Fair Wages and Service Commission under the ministry, you know, and the forum brought together stakeholders and key players in labor to look at the issue of productivity. That has been completed. We are waiting for the report. We are expecting to hold another forum sometime in September on linking pay to productivity.
Minister of Employment and Labor Relations Niama Ashite. Still on the minimum wage, the Executive Secretary of the Ghana Employers Association, Alex Rimpong, has expressed worry at the inability of the negotiating team to conclude the national minimum wage. He said unusual economic circumstances have led to the delay. Speaking to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News, Mr. Rimpong called for an amicable settlement to sort out the minimum wage for the public sector.
We are worried that we have not been able to conclude on the national daily minimum wage. Given the discussion that has transpired that far, we are sure that we should be able to reach an amicable settlement on the matter.
But in your view, what has contributed to the delay in announcing a new minimum wage?
Well, I think the fundamental issue that has characterized this round of disputes this year has been the unusually difficult economic circumstances in which the country finds itself. And you cannot dissociate wage negotiation from the economic circumstances, because at the end of the day, if you agree on a wage that an employer cannot pay, then you are better not even fix it at all. So I think we need to look at it within that context, especially in a situation where businesses are going through a lot of difficulties.
In the run-up to negotiating new minimum wage, the issue that has come up is whether wage increase does correlate with the output of workers. Why has it been difficult to match increase our wage with enhanced productivity?
It is an issue that we seriously do not want to discuss at this point in time, because if you want to look at the productivity of an enterprise in this country as against what happens elsewhere, it's a different ballgame altogether. So I would rather now we look at how, given these economic difficulties we have, we can fix a wage that will be acceptable to government, labor and employers, because productivity in this country is a different matter altogether.
Is organized labor demanding too much?
Well, the issue is not about demanding too much. The issue is about how well we can all commit to a wage that will be acceptable to all.
Executive Secretary of the Ghana Employers Association, Alex Rimpong. For his part, the President of the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAC, Samuel Ofoibe Queen, expressed displeasure with government for the delay in the implementation of the minimum wage. He urged government to speed up efforts with the negotiation team to settle the minimum wage saga.
I am quite surprised by the attitude of the government, because we started having interactions with them from the beginning of this year, and the idea was to get everything done at least by the end of March. But somewhere along the line, the whole process got stalled. We kept on reminding them, and nobody seemed to be listening. So this time that the TUC now came up and gave the ultimatum, I don't know the reason for the delay, but I suspect that it all boils down to their initial decision to put a freeze on wage levels in this country. That's why they were dilly-dallying. But I don't know how they were expecting industrial peace in the country with that kind of unilateral action. Because if you want something to be done, I think the best thing to do is to sit down with the partners and then discuss things with them for them to come to an agreement.
Is it the inability to pay upward adjustment by the government and employers that is causing this delay?
Well, I don't know whether it's the ability to pay or not. Because if you look at it, cost of living, it's not static, it's been rising. So definitely they know that by all means, because of what is happening in the economy, organized labor will ask for something that will cushion them against this thing. At least they should have come forward and then discuss it. But to keep people in the dark up to this level, I think was not the best.
And even in discussing these issues with the tripartite committee, government and organized labor, and the TUC issuing this ultimatum, is that a comment that we should be hearing from organized labor at this point in time?
Ordinarily, believe that if things are going on well, nobody will issue threat to any party. But if you are not treating the other party with the kind of respect that the party demands, then this is what you bring upon to yourself.
University Teachers Association of Ghana President UTAG, Samuel Ofoibe Queen. Now to other stories. President John Mahama says Africa's phenomenal economic growth cannot be sustainable unless the issue of wealth inequality in its societies is addressed. Opening the Pan-African Conference on Inequalities in Accra yesterday, President Mahama also called for a shift from the system where Africa uses the same development paradigm of the Western world to measure its own growth. The three-day conference has discussed various forms of inequalities and how they can be addressed in shaping Africa's vision over the next 50 years. Pascaline Adadivo reports.
The three-day conference will discuss extensively the global phenomenon inequality. It has become a major topical issue because of its adverse effect on socioeconomic development. Africa is being put into perspective in view of its highest rate of inequality. Conflict in most parts of the continent have been linked to inequality. The African poor has found out that the benefits of economic growth do not trickle down to the grassroots. Stakeholders have argued that ignoring inequality in the pursuit of development is disastrous. This places a responsibility on governments and the public sector to ensure that all sectors of the population are socially and politically integrated. For example, roads and other infrastructure must be improved to open up the remote areas for development. Government's economic policies must emphasize the creation of jobs. African economies ranked the second fastest growing in the world, and its GDP is expected to grow at 5.5 this year. How does this benefit its citizens? President Mahama reiterated his government's vision to embrace the new Africa of equal opportunities for all.
In lower middle income and middle income nations, such as ours, inequality is more visible as a result of an increasing middle class with growing disposable incomes and visible consumption. We must ensure that the fruits of our success are shared and enjoyed by as many of our citizens as possible. For far too long on the African continent, only a minority of people benefited from the resources of our nations. For far too long, our people have been placated with promises of a better future. It is time to make good on those promises. If Africa's fortunes are indeed changing, then that prosperity must be reflected in all of its citizens, not just the wealthy and the privileged.
The chairman of the National Development Planning Commission, Paul Victor Obeng, says the issue of inequality can be best tackled if every individual looks at development inclusively.
Let us open our eyes, our hearts first, to take on board the historical and human factor obligation that obliges every person in authority to look at development inclusively into our hearts and our minds. It is a new idea that has come, but it takes its roots from history and from the various religious experiences that we all ascribe to.
In all these, strong social intervention policies drafted to suit the poor is a way to go.
Pascaline Adadivo reporting. A special advisor to the UN Secretary General on the post-2015 development agenda, Amina Mohammed, says weak institutions in many African countries have deepened inequality gap from the continent. She says though countries might be committed to ensuring that its citizens get a fair share of opportunities, institutions meant to ensure this can derail the process if they are not properly equipped. Madam Mohammed was speaking at a Pan-African Conference on Tackling Inequalities in Accra. Augustus Akwe has the story.
The Accra meeting is looking at how structural transformation efforts can be used to address inequality challenges on the continent. The special advisor to the UN Secretary General on the post-2015 development agenda, who is also Assistant Secretary General of the UN, Amina Mohammed, said all development efforts should be done with the aim of benefiting all segments of society. She said many African countries are still finding their feet as a state, and so strong institutions will ensure that the development drive benefits all.
Many of our countries today are either in a very fragile state of instability or are coming out of conflict. And that's the context that when we say we're eradicating poverty and we're bringing partnerships into this, that is not well thought through. Certainly we haven't had that experience. And then to really look at the issue of migration as well, where we're losing a lot of the skill sets that we need. And that brings me to the question of institutions. Because I think that where we have inadequate and weak institutions, we are starting off a very poor base. We can say what we need to say politically. I will give the example of my country when we did get the debt relief. It was a welcome gain to say we would spend $1 billion a year on the poor. But it was one thing to say it, another thing to try to implement it. A year later, we tried to do it through the norms, it was almost impossible to spend those resources. The institutions did not have the capacity to take down those resources to the local level. The first partnerships really should be with the people themselves.
The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelita, who was a panelist at the forum, said empowering women and the vulnerable in society is the way forward in bridging the inequality gap. She said an established institution to cater for that segment of society makes the problem half solved, though they might have their setbacks.
Within the government machineries of each country that has decided to adopt a women's ministry or gender ministry, you have an institution that is able to monitor across board gender indicators and ensure that all levels of governance, at the district level, at the regional or provincial level, and at the national level, the one institution that is making sure that there's effective gender mainstreaming in terms of allocation of resources, in terms of equitable representation of women. We now have a government institution that is constantly advocating increased resources for gender-related issues. And also, not just the women, but the other vulnerable groups within society, particularly persons with disability, children, and the youth. We've also been able to measure the extent to which gender has been centralized in implementing and ensuring that our government is able to achieve the MDGs. So we can look at education, we can look at poverty, we can look at infant mortality, and also look at maternal mortality.
Mrs. Leka said Ghana's media pluralization vis-a-vis freedom of speech and the patronage of social media by a large number of its citizens have propelled citizen participation in governance.
That was a report filed by Augustus Akwey. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Government optimistic of reaching decision on minimum wage before May Day. Local government expert assess election of DCEs on non-partisan basis will allow professionals into local government system. With institutions cited as bane of inequalities in Africa, and ailing Algerian President Abdelaziz Bouteflika sworn in for a fourth term. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. A local government expert, Eric Oduasari, says election of district chief executives alone will not solve managerial inadequacies in government structure in the country. The director of studies at the local government school, Eric Oduasari, believes that the call for DCEs to be elected should be done on non-partisan basis. He said this will enable professionals to get involved in governance at the local level.
As a nation, we should ask ourselves, what are we electing the chief executives to do? And then while we are not able to define what we elect chief executives to do, election will not do the trick. Are we electing chief executives to manage the district assemblies as managers? Then does the election produce the most competent person to manage the district assembly? If these answers are no, then in my view, the elections will not do the trick.
Local government expert Eric Oduasari. Following the death of a GBC intern, Buenoko Poplampo, who was unfortunately knocked down by a car on the ring road in front of GBC, authorities of the corporation requested that measures be put in place to check drivers who overspeed on the pedestrian crossing. The request was followed up with prompt action by the Department of Urban Roads, who are creating rumble strips on the road and have also stationed a metro guard during rush hours to ensure drivers do not overspeed on that stretch of road. Radio Ghana solicited the views of a cross-section of the public who work and school around the ring road.
I think the speed ramp here is a very good idea, because when I used to work here, I'll be hearing some noise, GBC at the garden. I used to buy leaves, I'm an exporter. So this time you hear push, ping, push, push, and we'll be wondering, why are these drivers hurting themselves over here? They should take time. But I realize that it's not only about the drivers, but it's also about the pedestrians, and also about the way the road is. So the speed ramp, for me, I think, is the best idea.
I realized there were speed bumps on the road, like at the entrance of GD. I could still see the cars speeding because they were not slowing down. So it means the same problem repeats itself. They still stand there for minutes before you cross.
We had views of a cross-section of the public who work and school around the ring road, expressing their views on the new rumble strips. And on the foreign front, Abdelaziz Bouteflika has been sworn in as Algeria's president for a fourth time as opposition parties boycotted the ceremony. Sitting in a wheelchair a year after suffering a minor stroke, Mr. Bouteflika recited the oath in a hoarse voice and briefly thanked voters in his first public speech for at least 2 years. He said the April 17 election was a victory for democracy. The 77-year-old president, who rarely appears in public, promised national reconciliation. So end the news, the main points again. The executive secretary of the Ghana Employers Association, Alex Rimpong, and the president of UTAC have expressed worry at the inability of the minimum wage negotiating team to reach an agreement on the national minimum wage. In interviews with Radio Ghana, they urged government to fast-track the process to meet the demands of organized labor before May Day. A special advisor to the UN Secretary General on the post-2015 development agenda, Amina Mohammed, says weak institutions in many African countries have deepened inequality gaps on the continent. And that ends the news broadcast on Radio Ghana, Accra.